listening to Discography Discussion, episode 105, Gideon, presented by DiscussMetal.com. And if you're ready for another episode about a sure thing, then you are ready for this episode of Discography Discussion. I am Joe. That is Dan. We're talking about Gideon.
Dude, we are talking about Gideon tonight, and I couldn't be more excited. Do you know why I'm excited?
Because it's another fucking great band that has really no cosmetic flaws to speak of.
I had a great week, Joe. I had a great week. The band has no cosmetic flaws, and they are just a sure thing all the way around. I'm getting Fit for a King all over again without it sounding exactly like that band.
It started off that way for me. There's a few places along the way where I was bored because it was more of the same, but then I remembered why we do this show. We're not listening to Gideon and comparing it to Fit for a King. Not really. We're listening to Gideon for what they are, and if all I had was Gideon, I would basically have a sure thing.
It's not a basically thing. It is a sure thing. It's exactly what you want it to be. It's hardcore. I don't even think it's metalcore. It definitely stays in the realm of hardcore, and I'm okay with that. There's conviction in the vocals. The breakdowns hit really hard. It's just a great band all around.
The one thing that they had that Fit for a King and other bands of this style don't have as much of, there is some significant nu metal in Gideon's discography.
Yeah, you don't hear that early on, but as you get to albums 3 and 4, it becomes noticeable that, hey, those breakdowns have got some fucking nu metal behind them.
Proving once again that even in 2011, people loved nu metal.
People still love nu metal. I'm starting to become reacquainted with it. I have no choice. It's sneaking its way into most of my favorite bands.
It is 2019.
And I'm kind of okay with it. However, this trend kind of started more in, I don't know, I want to say like 2013 on. We started hearing that with bands like Immure coming out, being more nu metal sounding, while still having that metalcore edge, that deathcore edge. I wouldn't say Gideon falls into deathcore, but they definitely hit harder than most other bands like them. We'll put it that way.
Well, before Dan and I start gushing about Gideon, I want to take this time to say thank you to everyone for listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. If you are not a subscriber, then you can find everything Discography Discussion at DiscussMetal.com. We are on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. So if you have an Amazon Echo or a Google Home, you have no excuse. Ask it to play the latest episode of the Discography Discussion podcast, and it will. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter at Discuss Metal. Be sure to like, favorite, and subscribe. It really helps us out. It lets us know you're listening, and now Dan is going to tell us all about 5-star reviews.
Hey, you know what? We love 5-star reviews here on Discography Discussion.
How much do we love them?
We love them a lot. And one of the biggest perks that you get whenever you leave us a review, be it on Apple Podcasts or whatever, we'll see it if you leave us a review. One of the biggest perks to that is that we will read it on the podcast, no matter what it says. And I've got a good one for you here tonight. We got a review pretty recently by a user, Failed Poet.
This is a 1-star.
Yeah, this is our first 1-star. So, woohoo, we made it.
Congratulations, guys. We made it.
So it says,
it's fine. Just you and me tonight, but they don't need to know that.
It says, fine podcast if you're into juvenile humor. I got about 28 minutes into a podcast on one of my favorite bands, and the four clowns who were supposed to be hosts cracked tasteless joke after tasteless joke. Thank you. While supposedly discussing this band's discography, I think I remember trying to listen to this podcast in the past and quickly unsubscribed. Maybe their lowbrow humor appeals to other listeners, but not me. There are far better podcasts on music, specifically in the genre of heavy metal, like Requiem Metal Podcast, Radical Research Podcast, and Heavy Metal History. 1-star. Well, I definitely appreciate you being honest and leaving us a review. Like I said, we'll read it on the show. It goes towards our review total of 100 reviews, gets you a Kiss episode. And
please, no. I don't want to.
Well, you know what?
But I'm going to have to, right?
Eventually, you're going to have to,
for
Joe.
For those 100 reviews, we made that commitment.
Absolutely. And in reference to the podcast that he mentioned, Requiem Metal Podcast, Radical Research Podcast, and Heavy Metal History, those are really good podcasts.
Hell yeah, they are.
They're really well-produced, well-researched, and they're done in more of a documentary style, which is appealing to some people. So definitely happy to have those recommendations and the review.
We got a YouTube comment on episode 52, Meshuggah. This is from Morg Original Music. Let me ask you first, may I affectionately refer to you as Mom from now on? Leave us a comment, let me know.
Perfect.
I'm really surprised you don't have more subscribers. Been listening to your podcast all day at work today, and will be listening to more. Good work. Well, thank you very much, Mom. I really appreciate your support. And one more for Dan. We got a tweet from AC. This is on episode 102, My Ticket Home. Loved this episode. Huge fan of My Ticket Home. So are we now. Everyone should definitely check out the opportunity to be EP. Not so much the EP that preceded it. Not a bad album to be found with these guys. I definitely agree.
Over on Facebook, Josiah Heiberg on the Me Without You episode. Well, he wrote us a book. I'm not going to read the whole thing here because I might run out of breath before I do, and he's going to phrase it so much better than I would. But the gist of what he told us is that he loved the episode and definitely differs in opinion from us from time to time. However, on this episode, he was 100% on board with the comments that he heard until we started talking about the Untitled record and how we commented about how low Aaron was in the mix. And he just wanted to throw in and let us know that this was an intentional choice by the band and that maybe we should just stop bitching and, you know, pay actual attention. So I will do that for you. And we'll get back to you if my opinion on that changes.
Dan is no stranger to bad vocal choices if turning it down in the mix is in fact a bad vocal choice. In most cases, it is. But I understand why Me Without You did it. I think we were just observing that it was low in the mix, which was in contrast to everything else that they were doing up to that point.
Right, and it's not like this band is not known for experimentation. So the fact that they did something different isn't surprising to me at all.
And especially after, what, 7 albums? We're not ignoring Aaron Weiss. If anything, we're listening harder, which may have actually been the point of what he wanted us to do by turning himself down in the mix.
Very much could be.
So, Dan, tell us about Gideon.
Gideon is a hardcore band from Alabama. More specifically, they're from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Did I say that right?
I'm going to go with it until I find out different.
It's just so cool to say it as Tuscaloosa, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Gideon started around 2008, but we didn't really hear anything about him. Like, I don't remember hearing anything about the band until like 2013, sometime around there. And they'd already released 2 records at that point, which was Cost and Milestone. And I actually started with Milestone first and then moved my way back to Cost. But since this is a chronological order type of podcast, we're going to talk about Costs for a little bit. I will tell you that Costs bashes you in the face right out of the gate. Like, it will build up, I don't know, maybe for a minute or so, and all you just hear is, like, screams in the background. It sounds like a psychopath is marching across the high school gymnasium with a crowbar in his hand, and that crowbar is going to end up in your skull eventually. So you just have to sit there and be unsettled, I guess, until he shows up.
I have a hard time complaining about a band like this without comparing it to other bands. We've had a very fun, easy listening month and a half with bands like Fit for a King and My Ticket Home and now Gideon. At a glance, I want to start picking apart how similar they are and how little they do on their own that actually redeems them. However, as I said in the opening, Gideon has some nu metal. And now that we are being honest with ourselves and how much we love nu metal, it's a band I wish I knew more about. I only heard about Gideon recently when I picked up Milestone and Calloused as part of the Face Down 30 albums for $30 we had, what, in 2017?
Yeah, I got one of those as well.
To get that stereotypical hardcore, metalcore, droning fake degent sound, but then have some straight nu metal thrown in, especially on Milestone, I was hooked. I wish I did know more about this.
I don't think that the bands are similar to each other, like the bands that you mentioned, My Ticket Home and Fit for a King and Gideon.
They have the same audience.
They have the same audience, that's for sure. But I think the thing that we're trying to get at isn't how similar they are, but try to pinpoint exactly what it is that this band is doing right that other bands that sound like them don't do right. You know, it's really easy to have this kind of sound. Like, when I'm explaining Gideon to somebody, I'm like, okay, well, it's hardcore with some nu metal style breakdowns thrown in with some clean singing every now and again. People are going to be like, oh, fuck, I've heard this before. It's like, no, but you haven't heard Gideon. You're missing the important part of the equation, which is passion. Gideon has boatloads of passion. Whenever we go to Costs, You start off with a build-up. I would say Kosh is probably their most hardcore album. It builds up slowly, as I described, Gymnasium, Crowbar, you get it. Whenever this album kicks in, you are in for a hardcore onslaught with vocals that are very passionate, very heavy, almost tough guy, but without that, I'm going to beat your ass kind of edge. I don't really know how to describe it, but I don't think it's tough guy hardcore, although I could see people maybe thinking it was. But one of my favorite things about their vocalist is that he delivers in a rhythmic way. It's not rapping, but it's almost like he just moves back and forth between the riffs in such an awesome pattern that it actually sticks with you. And a lot of bands like this don't really have catchy sounding vocals. And he nails it pretty much 100% of the time for the 30 minutes that you get with Costs.
If you listen to this style of hardcore for too long, it definitely does run together, or it has the ability to run together. We listen to Haste the Day, He is Legend, not because it's significantly different from song to song. If you want that, you almost have to go to an Opeth or Between the Buried and Me, and even they have their own little niches they fall into. So if you want a record that's going to take you from 0 to 10 and hold you there for a good half hour and then let you go so everybody can catch their breath, Gideon's a band that can do that, and Costs definitely does that. I get the same feeling I get listening to like a Frank Zappa live album. You can actually hear and feel what the band is trying to give you in a live setting. I feel like if I went to a live show, I would feel the exact same way that I feel right now.
Yeah, there's an energy there that's captured on the record that translates very well to a live show.
It would have been a lot easier if I'd said energy.
Well, you know, I was blessed with the gift of wordage. Wordage is a word, right?
Some people talk and some people edit.
Damn, I screwed that up. Anyway, energy, and passion. That is what Cost is. That's what the other Gideon records are. Spoiler alert. You know, it is what it is. I like the clean vocals. I think they're introduced just at the right time. Because I know initially when I listened to Cost, I was like, is it going to be like this the whole time? And they started adding in clean singing, which sounded really good. It didn't actually sound emo, which I like. But it didn't sound like nu metal either. It just sounded like a dude singing, which I kind of appreciated.
Is the sound of nu metal the baritone guitar? Everybody says Korn. Everybody says Deftones. Everybody says Stained. Obviously Stained.
I don't hear that on Costs, though.
I don't hear that here. I hear the same chords. I hear the same kind of chorus structure that you might get on a nu metal song. But it doesn't sound the same. And yes, this came out 10 years after those records, or the landmark records like Break the Cycle and Significant Other. I think this is what the music would sound like if the baritone guitar trend did not take off back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, I don't really hear that on this record. This sounds like straight ahead hardcore to me. Got a little bit of a metalcore influence with the breakdowns. The breakdowns are more metalcore, but you've got all the staples of a good hardcore band here. You've got a very loud, abrasive lead singer that provides clean vocals that sound pretty good. They're not over the top. They're not overly theatrical. They sound good. They sound passionate. And the speed of the songs really carries it. There's an intensity in each track that just carries on to the next track. And I do think that this would eventually start to run together if the album had been longer. But I think like that 30-minute mark is really where it's at. It's like 30 minutes and some change. And I'm fine with that. I think that makes this record a really cool package. And I've definitely heard way worse debut albums.
2012, Milestone.
Milestone is interesting because in a lot of ways it's a lot like Costs. But in a lot of ways it's different too. It definitely goes for the melodic. Like it starts off like Costs because you don't want to lose people, right? And they don't lose you at all at the beginning of Milestone. And I think Milestone is actually a better record than Costs because the lyrics, instead of necessarily being about a variety of topics, seem to be more about a specific event or a period in the person's life that wrote the lyrics. I don't know who wrote the lyrics, if it was the singer or somebody else in the band. There seems to be this story about abuse, an abusive father figure in the home. Maybe not a real father, maybe a stepfather. I'm not sure. The lyrics are a little bit more vague. However, the level of passion and anger and forgiveness that's thrown together into this record creates a melodic, intense, passionate atmosphere that Cost didn't really have. Like, Cost was heavy, it was in your face, but this record has no problem going into a more melodic section and carrying that for the next minute, which they didn't really explore too much on Cost. Cost, you had some choruses, you had some clean parts thrown in there, but this is where the band starts taking a more melodic approach, and the production quality is much higher on Milestone, which is where whenever the band plays a breakdown now, you start hearing that bass drop, which is what I like to call the new metal breakdown bass drop.
New metal created it, but Degent implemented it. And it definitely shows up in 2012. Everybody did the bass drop in 2012. It was gone for, what, 10 years? And then out of nowhere, it just started coming back.
It's got to sound good in your brand new car stereo system.
Right, because you just got that subwoofer put in the back, and now you can't put anything in your trunk.
Zero things in your trunk. This record is killer. Milestone is one of the most passionate records you'll ever hear. And I wish I had more to say about it than I do, but it's really good. You should listen to it. It's about 30 minutes long. It tells a really interesting story about a hatred and betrayal and forgiveness. And it's everything that you would want out of a good hardcore record and everything you'd really want just out of an aggressive record at all. If you're more of a metalcore guy, you're definitely not going to be getting those crazy lead guitar parts or noodly solos or anything like that. But you're going to get music that moves you and music that makes you just want to punch things. And then to me, that's what hardcore is all about. And that's what I want out of hardcore bands that I listen to. It was really interesting to see how much they had changed between this record and Calloused.
2014. I think this may have been the first record I listened to. This was what I was expecting to hear when I first listened to Costs. This sounds like a band that did the same thing My Ticket Home did back in 2012. They made their records and then decided we were going to do a stripped-down production, maybe even independent. I don't know if that's what Gideon did, but it doesn't have as much of the stereotype metalcore from the 2010s going on here.
I don't think it's metalcore at all. I don't think it's new metal either. I want to throw that out there.
To be clear, I don't think Gideon is new metal. They have qualities that are new metal that their peers do not have.
I disagree with you a little bit on it being more stripped down. I think Calloused is produced as fuck. It's probably the most overproduced album they have, but the band is still Gideon. So what you're getting is what they had on their previous two records, only louder, with more bass drops. However, the songwriting itself is much more chorus-based, much more songs-based. Like any other hardcore band out there, Gideon used to have this problem of, we're going to play this for 10 seconds, we're going to play this for 10 seconds, we're going to play a breakdown, we're going to throw a clean vocal in, we're going to play this for 10 more seconds, and we're going to write it out on this different riff. Everything on Calloused is a song composition. They became much stronger songwriters. That's why so many of these songs stick in your head. They actually had their biggest single, which was Survive. Survive is one of the catchiest songs you will ever hear if you haven't heard it yet. They even have the singer of Beartooth on as a guest vocalist, which just adds to it. But this song is very chorus focused, and I can just see it being in a pit and just rushing that stage trying to yell into the mic, you know, on this chorus. It is literally one of the most positive moments on a record that I've heard from a band like this. Everything that Gideon does is polished. It's very positive. And I think that has a lot to do with them being a Christian hardcore band, which we didn't really mention before because we kind of beat that horse to death sometimes on this podcast. But it is worth mentioning that that's why this band has such a positive message overall. But they're also not afraid to talk about the pain of things. But this record, in contrast to Milestone, which basically focused on pain, this record focuses on recovery. And you know, even the entire idea of calloused, you know, having calloused hands, meaning, you know, you've been in pain before, but now you're starting to heal. So this record really reflects that and has literally some of the catchiest hardcore songs you'll hear. Again, if you haven't really listened to this band, this is the record you should start with.
Sorry, I got stuck in Survive territory.
It's an earworm.
Songs like this are why I have to tap out when I'm listening to modern metal. Bands that are this type of generic in 2019, I'm tired of hearing it because I don't hear anything that I'm not expecting. The exact opposite is true when I'm listening to these four albums in 1 week. You actually see the progression of the band. You see that we got through three albums and one EP before that, and we're actually putting thought into the songs that we're writing. I don't know how to get that level of appreciation out of every modern metal band because it has become so formulaic. As formulaic as every other pop music ever has become at one point. I just can't figure out why this is more appealing to the ear than, say, your generic metalcore from the mid-2000s.
Because it's not generic. Good songwriting is good songwriting. It doesn't matter what kind of style you play. You're either really good at writing songs that people are going to remember or you're not. And I think a lot of bands that you would describe as generic just latch onto one sound and try to replicate that sound over and over and over again. Gideon has no problem replicating that sound. So what do you do with it? You write good songs with it. And that's what they did. That's what they continue to do. Seriously, listen to Calloused first. I can't stress that enough. Not that Koss and Milestone are bad, but Calloused is going to get you on board. It's going to carry you the rest of the way through.
Congratulations, Dan. You have found an album called Cold that I am actually willing to play on the show.
Yeah, well, Cold is, you know, not to be confused with Scooter and the Boys. So Cold is the latest offering from Gideon.
The bass drops are in full force, gentlemen.
They are, and this is the most pissed off sounding Gideon record I've ever heard. I don't know if dude was just like making a sandwich, and he's like outside on his deck making a sandwich, and a bird flies over and just shits right on that sandwich. It flies off. This is so angry. This is so pissed off. It almost takes away from the catchiness and great songwriting that we had on Calloused and is more of a go-for-the-throat kind of record with some very slow breakdowns, some feedback. You know, they've got that generic Gideon that they seem to throw onto every song, just part of their sound, I guess, now. But which makes me wonder, is the guitarist to do that, does he just, like, play his chord and then, like, just knob it, like volume knob it?
100%.
Yeah, okay. That actually probably takes some talent to do to make it sound good like that. But
studio magic, noise gates, it's a thing. Thank Degent.
I need to go see him live and see if it sounds like that live. They probably have a backing track for it, right?
If they don't have a backing track, then I would hope they are as in unison as they sound on the album. The kick drum does most of the work live.
This record's very dark in comparison to the previous three.
It doesn't sound dark. It sounds exactly like Gideon.
It's dark, though. Well, yeah, it's still Gideon, but it's a more pissed off Gideon. It's a heavier Gideon. And one thing I like that they picked up from Calloused that I think is going to stick with the band forever is kind of the choral chorus, so to speak. So instead of just having one dude belting it out as good as he can, it now sounds like a whole group of people. You know, realistically, it sounds like a bunch of people trying to rush the mic at a show. And that's perfect for a band like this. Like, 100% perfect.
Isn't every band like this trying to create the arena sound or the arena feel?
I don't think it's an arena feel, because in an arena, if you fucking run up on stage, you know, you're probably going to get thrown down and get your neck broken by security. See the Lamb of God episode. I think for a band like Gideon, it would be a disservice to have them on a huge stage in an arena. I think this is meant to sound like we're in a club, there's 300 people, and the whole place is about to be ablaze. I've seen it a ton of times with other bands, everybody rushing the stage, and you get kind of a sound like this, and I think it's great hearing it on a record. I worry, though, that the focus more on heaviness on this record detracted a bit from the songwriting that we had on Calloused. I think Calloused is as close to a perfect record as this band can come up with. So this record, I think at best, it sounds super heavy and brutal, but at worst, is derivative of Calloused. But it's still a sure thing. Like, did you like the other three records? You're going to like this one. It's Fit for a King all over again.
I don't know, dude. It had some My Ticket Home moments that really made me happy.
Well, my ticket home switched it up a lot more than Gideon does. Gideon plays it pretty safe for the most part, which is totally fine. I like to sell records too.
I feel like we're rushing out of here, but we're really not. There's not a whole lot we can say when everything we have to say is good, so...
Four albums, baby.
Final thoughts on Gideon. Dan?
I think if you like passionate hardcore music that has modern production value, i.e. it's very passionate but doesn't sound like ass, Gideon's your band. They're going to have a positive message. They're going to be in your face. You're going to get to dance in the pit. You're going to get to rush the stage. They're going to be the full experience for you. If you haven't checked out Gideon yet, I mean, I don't know why you're... I don't know what you're doing. But check out Gideon. Start with Calloused. They're a great band. They're a sure thing. You can thank me later.
As the first person that is thanking Dan later, I will say Gideon is another sure thing. They're another heavy band. It's all good. You're going to love it. Listen to Gideon. If this isn't for you, stand by. We're talking about Converge in a couple weeks. And that's all I really have to say.
Hardcore for life.
What's your album of the week?
Oh, man, my album of the week. I've actually gone back and revisited Meshuggah. So I've been listening to Chaosphere by Meshuggah. That's right, I said it right this time. I said Meshuggah instead of Meshuggah.
I went the opposite way than where I normally go. I was enjoying this so much, I had to get a little more chaos in my life, so I pulled out Tony Danza 2, The Electric Boogaloo, and I was listening to that this week when I wasn't having a good time listening to Gideon. I still had a good time listening to Tony Danza.
You always will. That's another sure thing, band. Even if it is pushing a boulder up a hill.
Take us out, DFT.
Well, I just wanted to thank everybody who listened to this podcast, that has continued to listen, everybody that's subscribed, all of our wonderful people on Patreon. Thank you guys so much. But here's the thing. We want to hear from you guys, so hit us up. You can send us an email at danandjoshow@gmail.com if you have any questions. You can find us on Facebook under Discography Discussion. You can find us on Twitter at Discuss Metal. Send us a Facebook comment, a tweet, whatever you kids do today. And, you know, if you're feeling really cool, you could join us on our Discord server where we're pretty much on. If you want to chat with us, ask us questions, whatever you want to do, we're always going to be on Discord. So you can check us out there. And there's links in the show notes to all that stuff. So we just want to hear more from you guys. We want to have open discussions with you guys. And, you know, hit us up. We're always receptive to whatever questions, fan recommendations, anything you got. We want it all.
And on that note, this has been episode 105 of Discography Discussion. Thank you for listening. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Discuss Metal. Subscribe to our podcast everywhere you listen to podcasts, including Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. Visit DiscussMetal.com for all things Discography Discussion. And please send questions and comments to DanAndJoeShow@gmail.com. If you are not a patron, you can become one at patreon.com/discussmetal. We have some sweet perks.
Change the channel and I'll break your fingers.
You said it, Clank Dealosa. The truth walks by your side.